You know, it is 2:30. It is a Monday, and that is the time slot for the Boyack Review. We've got Connor Boyack on the line, I believe. Is this you, Connor?
It is indeed. How are you, Jake?
I'm doing well. So, and I've got another caller, actually. You want to tag team this caller with me?
Let's do it.
Okay, hold on, and then we'll get into, I know you want to get to a bunch of legislative stuff.
Yeah.
Let's go to the call. Actually, caller, I just accidentally hung up on you. You can call back. We'll bring you in. Connor, do you want to tease it? What is it that you wanted to talk about today?
So we're full swing in the legislature. As your listeners probably recall or already knew, it's a 45-day part-time legislative session here in Utah. And so while that has its benefits, they're not legislating every day of the year. It is a very intense legislative session because everyone's trying to get their preferred bills, and the lobbyists are hammering legislators hard, and there's a lot of effort and political capital being thrown around in just these few short weeks. So we're 3 weeks in.
Is a very good time for people to be paying attention.
It is. It's crucial to be paying attention if you're worried about liberty, because there's a lot going on, as we'll get into in the next half hour, that is violating, or will, if it passes, increasingly violate our liberties. So
okay, hold on just a sec. I got this caller. They called back. Let's bring him on real quick, and we'll get right to the actual sausage factory, how it's made. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name?
Hey, this is Zach.
Hi, Zach.
Hey.
So you're on with me and Connor both right now.
Oh, sweet. I'm actually reading your book right now, Connor, Latter-day Liberty. It's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you.
You bet. What I want to talk about is just how all these people are freaking out about a Christian government and just all these different things. Well, you know what? I don't care if my politician's atheist, Buddhist, Muslim, or whatever. It really comes down to the issue. Are they going to limit my freedom? Are they going to limit my ability to live my life, to worship how I choose to worship? And are they going to impede on other people's rights? And you know, I don't care if they're Jewish or part of some so-called conspiracy. If they really, truly aren't hurting me, why are these people so upset? What are your guys' thoughts on those things?
Well, Connor, maybe you can go into that a little bit, because I pontificated enough about this whole grand Jewish conspiracy thing. I'm just makes me want to barf. But
well, you know, so here, you know, Jake and I are talking. I'm a faithful and believing Latter-day Saint, and Jake is a self-described agnostic, if I'm characterizing that right.
Perfect.
Jake.
Yeah.
And
here we are getting along.
Here we are getting along. We're not dropping bombs on one another. We're not trying to lock one another up in jail.
And even better than that, we're actually working together.
We're collaborating, exactly. And you may come at it from a different kind of natural law or whatever philosophical perspective. I may come at it largely from a religious perspective. Either way, human liberty, individual liberty, is the fundamental axiom that unites us all. It's really interesting, as a Ron Paul supporter myself, to watch the campaign, right? Rather than, you know, everyone in their factions and all in their entrenched, you know, political ideologies, here you have this kind of cranky old man uniting entire swaths
right.
of demographics of different ages, different genders, different sexuality, and all this sort of stuff. And liberty unites us all. That's what we need to do, is tear down these political, you know, identifiers and get away from the fact that, you know, okay, you're a different religion. I'll vote for an atheist as long as he'll leave me alone, right? You know, and it's all these Mormons, fellow Mormons, members of my faith here in Utah, who are in many cases doing the worst damage to the cause of liberty. And they wrap it in this mantle of social conservatism and Christian do-goodery. But in many times, that's exactly how tyranny is foisted on people, is in the name of doing good for others. And look where that's gotten us.
But I do think there is a certain bound by which, of us all working under the same umbrella, that we do reach, that umbrella does not, that shade doesn't extend to a certain limit. And that, in my opinion, is this vilifying a whole race of people, say Jews or blacks, or that goes against, because it is, in my opinion, the individualist libertarian tradition, regardless of race, of religion, or anything. I mean, is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, I think that's correctly. And really, in many cases, exactly as you just characterized it, it boils down to individualism versus collectivism. Are we going to be identified by, you know, our religion, our ethnicity, our sexuality, or whatever, or are we going to be focusing on the individual and what is right for each of us individually? I think that's kind of the overarching battle that we wage.
So, Zach, is that good for you?
That's great. I just wanted to add one more thing. I think the reason why the caller, was it Rob? I don't remember who it was. Whoever the guy was that called in, a lot of the problem I see with the Zionists is that they kind of have little favorites. I know you had a what was his last name? Nico Paulette?
Yeah, I had Nico
like
Paulette come on.
Yeah.
Mostly because of that. Because You know, like, for example, there's a lot of people at this station, and they are, you know, they don't hate Jews, just like me. I love the Jewish people. I think they're fantastic. Some, like, again, Murray Rothbard, Ayn Rand have done incredible things, and they happen to arbitrarily be in that grouping. But
yeah.
That doesn't mean that I shouldn't be able to be critical of a government, whether it's a theocratic government like Israel or American. I'm so critical of the American government, I can't be critical of Israel without being lumped in. And that's the problem, is that these pro-liberty people, they make it sound like it's anti-Jewish, and it's like, no, then I can't criticize the murder of innocent Palestinians. That's a problem for me.
Exactly. And I think that it's easy for people to gravitate to those things. Like, I think Ted Bundy, I heard that he was LDS or was somehow related. But, you know, just because somebody has a tie to a certain group or ethnicity or whatever, it doesn't mean that all people from Utah are murderers. It doesn't mean that all Israelis
are
racist.
Individualism.
You know, and so that's what I think liberty is all about. It's about allowing us to get through these xenophobia and different types of things that make us go, oh my gosh, and we can realize that we're all human beings. We're all part of a greater scheme of things.
Hey,
so,
I appreciate the call,
appreciate
Zach.
I hate
to rush you off, but I want to get to this report from Connor.
You bet. Exactly. Connor, love your book. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right, thanks, Zach.
How much time we got, Jake, before the break?
So we got about 5 minutes before the next commercial break.
Cool.
About 4 minutes, I guess.
So I wanted to basically just give kind of a rundown. For those who don't know, in January, at the turn of the year, I started employment full-time with Libertas Institute. We've raised enough donations. We're still raising more to bring on additional people. And so I am basically now a full-time liberty lobbyist, or whatever you want to call it.
Good for you.
So that it really is a fortunate thing, I think, for all of us in Utah, because it's allowing finally someone, whether myself or hopefully other people who we're going to bring on the team soon, to be focused full-time on, you know, exposing the bad things that are happening, strategizing to get good things done, rather than it being a passive, reactive, part-time thing, which, you know, for me and for so many others, it's always been kind of a nights and weekends and wherever we can fill it in.
Well, the fact is, Connor, is that the way the system is and dealing with reality as it is we have to get in and get our hands dirty, and that does require money, that requires full-time funding, so you can do like that. You could actually show up and learn what's actually going on instead of post-fact, you know?
And that's so true. Many of these committee meetings that I've been in at the legislature right now, you know, there are a couple other, I got to give them credit, there are a couple other citizen activists who are there, you know, every day, most days, part of the day. I mean, they're consistently there for different meetings. They're speaking against bad bills, and we may not agree on everything. In fact, I know that we don't agree on everything. They're maybe more conservative or what have you, but they are, you know, not being paid. They're just going out of the goodness of their heart and for the cause to try and get good things done. And we need more people like them, even if we don't agree all the time, because too many people up there, the overwhelming majority of the people up there, other than the legislators and the staff, are being paid to be there, like myself. That's not necessarily bad. They're being paid by companies who want them to get a return on investment, who want to get
exactly.
Good
they want to basically buy a politician to pass legislation that will hurt their competitors and benefit them.
And so much of what we see up there, what I observe up there, is geared towards that. There are some special, you know, non-for-profit groups. The ACLU has, you know, some full-time folks up there, for example. There's some others that are more ideologically based. But there are many corporate lawyers and lobbyists up there who just hover and who try and get their legislation through. And so we need to counterbalance that. Whoever's listening, find, you know, as I'll mention here, there's lots of bills that we're watching. Find one that's of interest to you. Figure out when it's going to go into committee. Learn how to, and email me. Contact us at Libertas Institute. We'll walk you through the steps of how to go to the Capitol and how to sit in a committee meeting, how to testify, how to do something about it. We have a tracker, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago on the show, that I invite everyone to go to, because what we're trying to do is make it really easy for citizen activists, for your average mom and pa, to figure out what is important at the legislature and what to do about it. So if you go to our website, it's libertasutah.org. Libertas is like the word liberty, but instead of a Y, you have an A-S, libertasutah.org/tracker. And that takes you to our legislative tracker, where we're tracking right now 53 different bills.
Wow.
So hundreds of bills are coming out, and we read every single one of them, which is a daunting task in and of itself. And we got to figure out, well, is this bill something we need to worry about? Does it infringe on liberty? Does it support and defend private property? Is it at all relevant to life, liberty, and property? And if it is, we put it on the tracker, and we either support it or we oppose it, and we explain why. But you go to the tracker and you can quickly scan and see what all the most important bills for a libertarian or a liberty-minded activist, what the most important ones are to focus on. And from there you can see the status of it. You know, it was just introduced, it's going to have a committee hearing soon, it's all linked up, you can click on links and read the bill or see, you know, when it's scheduled for a committee meeting. And so we're really trying to make it easy for people to follow the bills that are of most interest. And as I mentioned, right now we've got 53. We're still adding them because each day they're releasing new bills that are finally being released, and that'll happen for the next several weeks. But listen to this. Out of the 53 bills that we're tracking right now, only 13 of them we support, which means that 40 out of the 53 bills that we've identified so far are worth opposing. And that's not a very good track record.
Right.
It's probably not a surprising track record, but it's not a good one. There's an overwhelming number of bad bills right now that are creating more licensure, that are infringing upon liberty. And as I said, you know, I go to these committee meetings, and in some committee meetings, there are other these citizen activists and individuals who speak out or are at least there to monitor. But in many cases, when I go to a committee meeting to speak against a bad bill, I'm the only one there, and everyone else is just heaping praise upon the legislators for doing this great work, and this bill is so important, and I'm in the minority.
Yeah, well, good. So, more power to you on that. We're bumping on this commercial break. So
sure.
After the break, let's dig a little bit deeper into some of these particular bills, maybe who's sponsoring them, so we know, you know, a name attached to some of this nonsense. Come on back, guys. Jake Shannon Radio Show. We got the Boyack Review, Connor Boyack on the line, president of the Libertas Institute. Come on back.
Oh, my, my. Shake the dust off your hands and come run free on this land if you want to survive.
All right, guys, we are back. Got Connor Boyack with us, reporting from the Hill, full time now. Quite a jump there, Connor. Proud of you. So you're no longer working for the man. You're not a wage slave anymore.
No longer. Although I laugh, you know, I took a pay reduction and I'm working much more than I was before.
Oh, welcome,
my last job.
Welcome, my friend. Welcome
exactly.
To my nightmare.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't change. I mean, it's one of those things, right? What did Confucius say?
Oh,
like,
no.
Find a job that you love, that you do for free, you'll always be happy. I mean,
yeah.
Money is not all that.
Exactly. Yeah,
hey,
no,
but
I'm
proud of you. That's awesome, dude.
I'm very fortunate to be able to do it. Like I said, we're able to raise enough money, and we're still trying to fundraise to get a couple more people on, because we're going to be a lot more effective when it's not just me.
Sure.
In fact, I mean, there's so much work to be done, and I found myself in many cases saying I need someone to delegate to. So hopefully by springtime or summer, we'll have a couple other people on board as well, and we'll be kicking butt. We'll be the premier Liberty Institute. In fact, I guess we're the only Liberty Institute right now in Utah, and be able to really do some good.
Is there anybody like Colorado might be the only one that would have a competing organization of some sort? I mean, not really.
Yeah, and there's a lot of national organizations, of course, right? And not so many people focus on the state that are liberty-minded. They focus on the national level because there's so much, you know, violation of liberty at the national level, and the issues are more controversial. You can fundraise a lot easier. I'll tell you, when we tried to identify our pool of potential donors,
yeah,
to say, okay, libertarians in Utah who aren't broke.
Yeah,
it's not a very long list.
It's not. It really is not. It's hard. This is why people, you know, they always are like, well, you know how it goes. Everybody wants to give you advice. You know, when I'm running the Libertarian Party, I'm like, that's awesome. Please send over your wealthy benefactors, because that's basically what we need.
Yeah, no, it is. And fortunately, there are a lot of people who are liberty-minded enough that even if they don't necessarily agree with us 100%, we've had a lot of people who are very excited to see us full-time, up and running, and really have a strategic plan for moving forward. And even if they disagree on some issues, they realize that that 80% or 90% that we do agree on, they're just eagerly supporting us because they want to see something done about all the egregious big government stuff that we have in Utah. So it's been good. But especially being up on the Hill, too. So there's these 53 bills I mentioned that we're tracking, and there's a lot of bad ones. There's some that are, you know, not as bad. They're just kind of, you know, we should oppose them on principle or whatever. But there are several that are pretty bad. And I kind of compiled a quick list to give your listeners kind of an update of some of the more notable ones. Many people probably have read recently that there's a package of gun bills that are coming out soon. In fact, they're already out. They're hitting committee this week. They're not set yet. The committee meetings are not yet scheduled, but they'll likely be tomorrow or Thursday where they first get heard in committee. And really quick, just a summary of those bills. There's HB 76, House Bill 76. This would create what's called constitutional carry in Utah. No longer would you have to obtain a concealed carry permit
in order to conceal carry your weapon. If you're a law-abiding citizen over the age of 21, it simply recognizes your right. Now, if you want to carry on schools, or if you want to have that reciprocity with other states, then you could still get a permit. The permit will still exist, but you will simply not have to obtain a permission slip from the government to exercise your
right. Who sponsored that?
That is Representative Mathis, HB 76.
Wow.
And again, if you just go to our website, libertasutah.org/tracker, you can click on any of the links there and easily find out.
Because, you know, here's the thing. We always rag on this show because most people in politics suck and are doing things to restrict our liberty. And so we rag on them. But when they do something good like this, I want to give a prop to Representative Mathis for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, we do need to give him praise. Another great one, and these gun bills are all really good. They have some technicalities that can be improved, but and on general principle, they're the right direction to go. HB 268, this is, I believe it's Paul Ray, Representative Ray, if I'm remembering off the top of my head correctly, but you can go to the website and verify. HB 268 would basically state that simply carrying a gun does not constitute disorderly conduct.
Mm.
Oftentimes right now, if someone's open carrying a gun, a police officer who doesn't like it can just say, you know, cover that up, or I'm going to, you know, charge you with disorderly conduct, when your behavior, the individual's behavior, demeanor, nothing is at all disorderly. And so this clamps down on the definition of disorderly conduct and says that simply possessing and carrying a gun does not constitute disorderly conduct. I know of several cases where individuals have been threatened, if not charged, with disorderly conduct because of this. And so this would prevent police officers from legally being able to do so. Another good gun one, a very controversial one, which your listeners have probably read in the news, is House Bill 114. This is Representative Brian Greene's bill. He's out of Pleasant Grove, a freshman. And this is called the Second Amendment Preservation Act. This bill would invalidate future federal gun control laws. This essentially nullifies these laws and says that the Second Amendment of the Constitution, as well as Article 1, Section 6 of the Utah Constitution, expressly protects the individual right to keep and bear arms. And any gun control initiatives that try to do that for individuals in Utah who keep their guns in Utah, this interstate commerce concept that we've touched on before, are exempt from federal gun control law. And so this one's been a bit controversial. Some of the critics claim that it's, you know, unconstitutional. They point to a legislative note on the bill itself from a staff attorney where they try and argue that it violates the Supremacy Clause and the Commerce Clause. Well, that legislative note and the critics are completely wrong. We've written up an article which we'll be publishing tomorrow morning. So if you watch on libertasutah.org or on our Twitter or Facebook, you'll be able to see the update. Where we are tomorrow morning going to present some very concise and clear arguments as to why the bill is in fact constitutional, why it's needed, and why it's important. So that's House Bill 114. It's absolutely one worth watching.
Okay, hold on. We've got a caller. I'm not sure if they've got a question or what the deal is. Let's bring them in real quick. Caller, you're on the air. What is your name?
Larry again.
Hi, Larry.
Say, concealed carry is nothing but totalitarianistic gun control. You have to sign up to be able to keep a gun within the Second Amendment. It already states to keep and bear. Bear means to carry. It is nothing more than the man with his boot on your neck.
Well, so you should certainly get over to the Libertas website and support Representative Mathis for putting this kind of, making it explicit that it shouldn't be interpreted any other way except the way you're interpreting it, which I agree.
If you've got a concealed carry and you accidentally say your jacket flaps open or something, they can nail you for brandishment. That's baloney.
Yeah,
but
it's nonsense.
They still do it. Or if you talk about that you have a gun, you know, and it's concealed, you're still up for brandishment. You know, say you're in a threatening situation and you tell somebody that's like on a highway or something that's trying to kill you or something, you bring up that you have a gun, they nail you for brandishment. The cops don't have to do that. They get away with it.
I appreciate it, Larry. No, listen, and I hate to rush you off, but it is the second phone call, and I do want to get...
All right,
we're almost out of time. I appreciate it. I mean, I think you're kind of preaching to the choir, though. What else we got, Connor? I hate to rush, but we're running out of time. We got about 10 minutes.
Yeah,
actually, about
fine.
7 minutes.
Okay, so another one that's interesting is Senate Bill 55. This bill is by a freshman, Senator Shiozawa, who, if I recall correctly, is a doctor, as is a personal profession or something related to the healthcare industry. It might be an insurance. But his bill, Senate Bill 55, would mandate that insurance companies provide services for those with autism. Now, of course, very compelling, very tragic. You know, so much money required to provide these services to those with autism to try and help them to function properly, you know, and
be able to communicate and things of that sort. Very heart-wrenching stories that have been shared through committee meetings and other avenues and news articles about
the cost. Yeah, but is mandating it the way to go about
exactly,
it?
Exactly, exactly. So, again, this is preaching to the choir, and it's very interesting that you see all these conservatives who rail against Obamacare and the mandate and, forcing free market insurance companies to provide services they may not want to. And here in Utah, so many people are cheering on doing exactly that. And this bill has had some initial success in getting through committee. And so this is simply another Obamacare light here in Utah where conservatives are cheering it on. There's a worrisome one, what I call the Big Brother geolocation bill. This is House Bill 104. And this would allow law enforcement to obtain the geolocation whereabouts of an individual through their cell phone without obtaining a warrant.
Wow.
Now, they claim that it's for emergencies. For example, you call 911, you get disconnected, law enforcement could say, hey, here's the phone number that just called, tell me where he is so we can go help him. That I can at least understand, even though it's not getting a warrant, but you initiated the request, I can see them trying to reestablish contact. My worry with this bill, which I've expressed to the sponsor and I'm going to be saying next time it's in committee, is that imagine if a police officer, for whatever reason, gets a tip and thinks that you have an emergency where you have not initiated requests to law enforcement. You don't want their help. And yet, because they think that you're in an emergency under this bill, they could call your cell phone provider, say, tell me where Jake is at, and they show up at your house. Well, what's the problem with that? In far too many instances, the police have harmed or killed the individual that they allegedly go to help. Even if it was completely accidental, they get trigger happy, things get out of hand. And so my worry is that with this bill, police officers could, as Big Brother, simply determine where anyone is under the broad definition of...
Well, and what about laws that we don't agree with? I don't want him coming at... there's certain things that I may do that are illegal right now, that were once legal. I don't want them to know how to... I understand that.
It is a concern. They do clamp it down under emergency, but even that is loosely enough defined that, it's a worry of in what circumstances they could use that. Another one, similar, sort of, is House Bill 103. This one would ban cell phones for teenage drivers. Now, of course, libertarianism gets tricky when you talk about children, because what rights do they have? And,
Of course,
driving on state roads so they can regulate them, et cetera, et cetera. But this one would institute a complete ban on teenagers for using cell phones unless they're calling their parents or there's an emergency and they're calling for help. But any talking to friends, anything like that, it would completely ban them from using cell phones. Now, of course,
which is ridiculous because I could have a friend in the car sitting next to me and talk to them.
Exactly. And that was brought up in committee, and they were kind of hemming and hawing about that, claiming that the data demonstrates that that's not in fact true. But there's a lot of concerns like that. Of course, in that committee meeting, really emotional arguments were made. There was a mother there whose child was on a school bus, and that school bus was hit by a car whose driver was distracted because of a cell phone. And her child died, and she held up a photo of the mangled bus in a very compelling story. I mean, it's tragic, right? I mean, you and I would.
But how many people get into car accidents because they're changing the CD in their car?
Exactly.
Or their child is screaming and they turn around to pick up the baby brattle or something.
Right. And so that is the point that we focus on. And still, because of these emotional examples, the legislators want to be seen as doing something about it. And so the legislation fails through committee.
Okay, hold on. I got one last caller. Let's bring him in real quick.
Sure.
I'll keep him short. Caller, you're on the air. What did you want to say?
Connor, I'd like to ask about that gun nullification, federal firearms nullification. Would that nullify any need for manufacturing of firearms in Utah to be registered with the federal people?
Montana? The bill, as I recall, only nullifies future gun control laws. I'd have to go back and read it to be precise, but I'm fairly correct in that recollection. So any existing gun control laws would still be on the books pending other legislation in Utah that might try and retroactively go after these things. But I do believe that there's a date that says, any new gun control laws federally passed after this date would then be exempt.
And you could go over to the Libertas website and probably poke around and find some of this info too, right, Connor?
Yeah, so go to the tracker, and you can click on HB 114. You can read the text. I do believe it's only for laws going forward.
Does that help you, sir?
We need a gun nullification law for the federal licensing people, similar to Montana, where if you manufacture a gun in Utah, you don't have to register it with the feds.
We did pass one. We passed the same law in 2010,
Senator Dayton sponsored it. I believe it was SB 110. I might be wrong. But you can just go to the legislature's website. You can search in the 2010 session for the bills. You can type in Dayton to look for Senator Dayton's bills, and then it'll come up. We passed the pretty much the same thing that Montana did. Now, Montana's was struck down by court, so the standing of Utah's law I am quite not too certain on. But we did pass a similar law that is, as I understand it, still standing here in Utah.
Does that help you, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. Hey, Connor, we're running out of time. So people, they want to go to that bill tracker and find out not only like the good guys, like, say, Mathis in this instance, and some of the bad guys, they can go over there. What is it, libertas.org?
LibertasUtah.org /tracker will take you there. There's lots of other stuff. Licensure bills, there's marriage bills and alcohol bills and anti-discrimination stuff. So check it out. We make it super easy to contact your legislators, find out who they are. And so and if you have any ideas, let us know. We're really trying to provide the liberty-minded community with the tools that they need to hold legislators accountable and get the good stuff passed and fight the bad stuff. So
Okay. Drop
us an email. Let us know if you have any ideas.
Okay, yeah, and maybe next week we'll extend. Maybe you can call in a little earlier. I know you're busy now with actually being on the Hill and stuff, but maybe we can open it up, do a full hour, because there's a ton of stuff we should probably get to.
There is indeed. Thanks, Jake.
Okay, thanks, Connor. Guys, Jake Shannon Radio Program. We'll be back tomorrow.